And as we sung this morning, you alone are good, because you alone are God. And Lord, as we sang earlier on, there's that kind of awkward picture that we have, that we can lift up our heads to you as the coming King, and yet we find ourselves having to bow down because we recognize your beauty and your majesty, your power and authority, your strength, and yet your amazing love. And Father, thank you that you love us because you love us, not because of what we do, but you love us because of who you are. And Lord, we recognize, as Paul wrote in the book of Romans, Lord, that all of us fall short. We've all sinned. We've all got things wrong. But you're a faithful God, Lord. You say that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and you will forgive us, Lord, and you'll make us clean of all the stuff, all this unrighteousness. And Lord, out of our worship this morning, we want to spend a few moments just to be in quiet. Lord, come and search my heart. Come and search our hearts. Because, Lord, if we're going to be in a place today where we want to hear from you, then we want the rubbish to be out of the way. Lord, thank you that you never condemn. You only come and convict, and you're quick to forgive. You love to lavish your grace and your love upon us. And Lord, we want to receive from you, Lord, as we give to you this morning. Well, thank you too that we can bring our cares and concerns to you. Because, Lord, they matter to you as they matter to us. And Lord, whether it's challenges within family life, whether it's our health, whether it's our love for loved ones, whether it's situations in the community that we're aware of, Lord, or our hearts are moved, Lord, by things we see on the world stage at the moment. Lord, thank you that you are the God who is able. And Lord, when we pray, when we maybe even struggle to find the words, but Lord, there are the groans of our heart. Lord, you hear those. And in some amazing way, in your way and in your time, you come and you speak and you act. And so, Lord, may we find our peace in you today. Lord, may we have an expectation of your power working, Lord, in us and through us and in the community that we're part of, Lord, in this world in which you've placed us in for such a time as this. And thank you, Lord, that you do all things well. Lord, amidst the needs of this fellowship, we just want to remember Sid Dunsford at the moment, Lord, with his fall this week and the damage to his hip. Lord, would you give to that man an assurance that you are with him and that you are his strength and his comfort. Lord, you are the one who can heal. So bless him, we pray. And others who, Lord, need to know your hand upon their lives, your touch, Lord, at the moment. And Lord, we pray expecting great things of a great God. Because you want to do far more than we can even imagine or even believe you for. So, Lord, come and have your way in this place, in our community, Lord, that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe Bettine is going to come and read this morning, wherever Bettine is. Thanks, Bettine.
Our reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, NIV version. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanksgiving. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. Appeal for loyalty to Paul and the gospel. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thanks, Bettine. Good morning, church. It's good but kind of strange being back after 4 years of not having been on staff here. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Roland, and I'm not here on my own. Ali's here as well, who's my lovely wife. And Ali is going to come up with me. And what we just thought we'd do is kind of fill you in on some of the stuff, because it's been lovely seeing as many of you as we've seen over the weekend. But we got to a point last night when we got home, I was thinking, either I'm suffering from a really bad cold or I'm about to lose my voice because of all the lovely people have come up and said, so how are you? What's happening? How are the girls? So if that was one of you, that's great. We'd have loved it. But it did get to a point of this thinking, now have I had this conversation with you? Have I given you these details already? So we're in that place where we thought, with all of you here this morning, it's just going to be as easy for us to say, this is what's going on, and this is kind of our update at the moment. So this hasn't been rehearsed at all. I'm going to give Ali a mic, and I'll say a little bit to give Ali a chance to then think, how does she fill in after that.
But
no
for those of you who don't know, Ali and I came off some 4 years ago, and we stayed here for a year so that our youngest daughter, Ellie, who is now 19, which is really scary, and so we stayed here for a year, and then we moved down to a lovely little place called Dawlish in Devon. A lot of people have heard about it because of great train journeys down through there, but others have heard of it because the railway line got washed away there last year. So we've been now there 3 years, following a call that God placed, we believe, on our lives. To care for those in frontline ministry, not to teach them how to do their job, but actually to encourage them in terms of looking after their own heart and soul. Because through our own experience of being here, and it's not about you guys, it's actually about me and my management of time and the like, but you get to a stage where you realize that you're looking after everybody else's heart and soul, but you realize that that has a detrimental effect sometimes on your own. So rather than waiting for people to get to a point where they're burnt out and they're going to some amazing retreat centers and getting restored, we really wanted to get to a place where we're talking to people, where we're mentoring them, where we're putting some teaching in place so that actually we can take what is already good and make it even better. It's the type of stuff we used to do with marriage ministry here. I always remember our strap line, taking something that's good and making it great. So the ministry that God's got us involved in, and we've got some cards if you want to find out a little bit more about us. They're there as you leave. We've teamed up with a couple who had started an organization called On Track Ministries, which was really already doing something that we wanted to do. So we are now partnering with them, kind of heading up the team, and as a result of that as well, and being in Dawlish, we've got inevitably involved in local church life as well. But I'll let Ali tell you about Dawlish and what's happening there.
Well, where do you start? So alongside On Track, we have decided, we've been down in Dawlish now for 3 years, and we've decided that the time is right to put down a few roots, I think, mm-hmm. and we feel that God has said to us, now is the time to commit ourselves to staying in Dawlish. So we are getting involved, well, we've been involved in a local church there for that time, but now we are entering a new phase, of being on the senior leadership team, and also I'm working in the church office. I've been doing that for 2 years, actually. They didn't have an office. They didn't have anything, really. So we've created something for that. And yeah, church is growing. There's an exciting time at the moment. We're looking at possibly relocating. There's an amazing God story in that, about the way God's given us some land, potentially, and so many other things around that. So it could be a new building project, which you all know about. So there's all sorts of things going on. So we are committing ourselves to the local church in Dawlish in a more in-depth way than we have done over the last 3 years. So we've kind of got these two strands of things that we're doing. It's the local church and working with the local church and doing On Track, which is where our hearts are primarily. That's what where God called us. And so we're being self-employed in that, in working in the local church so that we can be flexible enough to continue our work with On Track. We're quite involved with Southwest Youth Ministries, doing some teaching and pastoral care with them. Yeah, what else are we doing? That's it, really.
We can talk about a lot of what we're doing. I think the great thing that we can stand here and say today, which I'll bring into what I'm going to say in a moment, but the great thing that we know, having moved away, and it was the right time to do that, and it was hard, but actually we're different people as a result of having gone. And our story very much is it's not just about what we do for God, but actually what he wants to do for us. And sometimes we recognize that we're so busy doing things. And it's right, God's called us to serve in the church. And so I don't want to tread on Scott's toes when Scott's saying, come on, church, we can do this and we can do that. And that's absolutely right. But I think we're finding more and more, maybe it's our season of life, I don't know. But actually, we're better doing when we're being with God. And the very ministry of Jesus that we read about in the Gospels time and time again, that Jesus just took time out from the busyness. If there was anybody who was busy in ministry, it was Jesus. And yet he had time to go and spend with his Father. And those infamous words where we read that Jesus would only do what he saw his Father in heaven doing. And the challenge for Ali and I has been, how much have we been doing ourselves out of our own strength? And how much of it has been under God's guidance because we've taken that time to say, okay, God, what do you want? What's on your heart? And sometimes that's been the absolutely crazy things, and other times it's being some very ordinary stuff. But our story is that, you know, when you step out, God meets you. And I guess that leads quite well into what I'm going to say this morning. So unless there's something else, Ali, I've missed, we'll pick up. And it was very interesting because I was in contact with Scott's wonderful PA the other day, a lady called Sally Thackeray. And we were just saying, and I was just saying, do I have a free hand to come and preach on what I feel God wants me to preach on? Knowing that you had been doing a series, I think, on the Beatitudes, is it, in the morning? Okay. And so I was very pleased to say, yeah, it is a free hand. But Scott said, but I thought we talked about you preaching through the book of Revelation on Sunday morning. So I said, no, actually, I had it on my heart that I would preach on Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, which, for those of you who don't know what it is, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. But I'm not going to speak on that this morning, you'll be pleased to know. What I'm going to speak on is just a word, and I used it, I think, in my prayers earlier on. And when thinking about coming here today, and I guess our own journey and being able to weave some of our story into that, the one word that God gave me, and hopefully this is going to work this morning. The guys tell me it might reliably work, it may not, but let's have a look. Yeah, it does, absolutely, fantastic. Is expectations. And so my question, even as I put that word up on the screen this morning, is how expectant are you of God working in your life? How expectant are you, or the person beside you, a couple, a family here this morning, how expectant are you that God wants to use you in his plans and purposes to bring about his kingdom, you know, that lovely prayer that's been prayed over the centuries of the Lord's Prayer or the people's prayer, you know, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. How much do we really want that? Another word for expectation, you know, being expectant, is what are we hoping for? And as I look around this morning, there are familiar faces, but there are unfamiliar faces as well, which is really encouraging. But in your journey, you may be here as somebody who doesn't yet know a relationship with God. You're just on that pathway and thinking, I want to know a little bit more. Others of you have been around this place for a long time. But how expectant are you of what God wants to do? Now, I know, and I've spoken to Scott, not for 3.5 hours. He was only joking the other day, but we heard that in a members' meeting, Scott said that Roland and I have been talking for 3.5 hours. Scott can talk, I can talk, but we didn't have 3.5 hour conversation. There are more important things to do, as much as I like the guy. But in that, you know, it's coming back in terms of saying, I know that Scott has come with a great vision to see the kingdom of God being worked here in Raleigh. You know, and the great thing that Scott, as far as I know, has seen, that him and Anjanette and the children have seen God build a church from nothing in Peru. So they know God can do it. They've seen lives being changed, but that's his desire. And I know there's a 5-a-day prayer thing going on for the next Alpha course. But how expectant, even with that 5-a-day, and I will get to my notes in a moment, in that 5-a-day, how expectant are you? Yeah, have you named, if you're aware of this, have you named your 5 people? Are you praying for them? Are you expectant, actually, that colleague, that friend, that neighbor, may, when you say, look, would you come around for a barbecue this summer? We'd love to see you. Do you want to come around for a cup of tea? Can we meet up and just share a bit of life together? That may lead, you believe, and I believe, for God positioning you, that you say to them in early September, there's just this course that we do in church that introduces people to the Christian faith. Are you interested in coming? But when we ask that question, are we expectant that they may turn around and say, yes? And our jaw doesn't drop and hit the ground, and we think, oh, I shouldn't have looked like that, should I? But how expectant, let's come back, how expectant are we, as couples, as families, as individuals, to see God at work in our lives? And as I say, please, when I say that, from my perspective, I'm not talking about it's doing more. Although there are gaps and there are always things to be done, sometimes it's actually just having that time with God where kind of we just feed off those things that God wants to do in us and through us. And I guess, as I said earlier on, that comes out of a relationship that Ali and I have developed with God over these recent years, where we become far more expectant of what we believe God can be doing in his plans and purposes. And we're not saying, hey, Roland and Ali have done this, so you guys have got to do that, please. All of us have got to find our own way in this. But has led for us to some amazing experiences, some life-changing in so many ways. And I remember very early on, Ali having a conversation with somebody who had been praying for us, and they said, we just believe that God's saying two things. Don't limit me, and don't dismiss anything. When you're faced with a situation, don't limit God, and don't dismiss something out of hand, as though it couldn't be God, could it? So we're learning, we've been learning, we're continuing to learn that when something comes up, and we've emailed out this week, and we've had, I think, 5 moves in 4 years so far, and we've got another move coming up. But how expectant are we? How are we believing God for the next? Not to limit him, not to dismiss anything that may come. Where are we in being able to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to be? You've given me so much. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do with the possessions that I've got? And I remember recently just spending some time with God, and we were just kind of having a bit of a conversation, and not an audible voice, but I just sensed God was saying, okay, Roland, you say you give me everything, but what doesn't that include? I found that really challenging, because I know that I can say God, and we've sung some amazing songs this morning, you know, talking about our commitment to God, and we want to go on with you, Lord. We want more of you in our lives. But if God said, I want this, is that too precious to us? Would we hold on to that more tightly, but say, but God, you can have that? But I come back, how expectant, how are we living in that relationship with God? And it brings us back to just one simple verse from that passage. I'm not going to open that whole passage up that was read to us by Bettine earlier. And hopefully you can see that, you can on screen. But it's this one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul is seeking to encourage this young man, Timothy, who's leading the church there in Ephesus. And it's a massive deal. You know, there's this young guy who's recently come to faith, a great leader of God, but quite a timid man. And he doesn't suffer, he doesn't actually have the best of health. And so Paul's been trying to encourage him in all of this. And he knows that he's up against it. And records just say the church in Ephesus could have been up to 100,000 people in that church at the time. Oh, who wants to go and lead 100,000 people? A bit like being the Prime Minister, I guess, isn't it? Or something like that. But Paul writes to him, encouraging him, and he says this, Timothy, for God has not given us, you, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let me read those words again, because I believe they're true for us as they were in Paul writing to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. As I said, Paul was just trying to gently encourage Timothy on this journey. Paul, it would seem, had actually led Timothy to faith on one of his first missionary journeys. He had linked up with him again on his second ministry mission trip, and got hold of Timothy, realized his background. He was a third generation Christian, because there's talk of his mother and of his grandmother as well, and just there teaching him in the faith. And so he was this product of so much that had gone on already, but there was this big challenge for him to lead the church there in Ephesus. A church that was actually doing quite well, although it had its own challenges as well. And Paul's there encouraging him all the way. Come on, Timothy, you can do this. Why? Because actually the spirit, and the writers who have looked at this believe, actually we're not just talking about a human spirit, but actually God's Holy Spirit that's been given to all of us when we come to faith. We all have the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly talks about that. When we come to faith, we have that deposit, which is the Holy Spirit guaranteeing our inheritance. And so Timothy has this gift, and Paul's encouraging you, if you like, to fan it into flame, to be strong in his faith, and to keep on keeping on. He was there standing with him in the task of leadership in the local church, especially when some of the things were getting a bit hairy and a bit tough. Paul was fulfilling his role as a good mentor, as a great friend, as a father figure in the faith. because he really cared for Timothy deeply, and he was leading by example. And just as an aside there, is that relationship that we've got that is kind of mapped out, and go home and read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and just get a greater sense of this relationship between these two men. But I was just thinking, as I was reflecting on this, you know, what is it for us when we are called to encourage those who are in leadership? You know, I guess maybe we're in a period now, Scott, kind of the honeymoon period is kind of over a bit, and, you know, it's the hard graft now. You know, I want to encourage you with him, with Jonathan, with Les, with others on the leadership team. You're not always going to agree, but I want to encourage you guys to encourage them, to walk with them, to use verses like this and say, come on, guys, you know, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So how can we do this together? How can we support you? Like, how can we criticize you? How can we tell you when you're doing things wrong? But how can we say, guys, you're doing a good job? Let's partner in this together, because that's what it's about. So coming back to this verse that I believe God wants to bring us back to today so that we can all be built up on our faith as he works in us, building up our expectation, living the truth, as my title was this morning. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So let's look at some of those key words just for a moment, shall we? And then let's look at the application in our lives today. Four key words that we've got there that you'll see on the screen still. Firstly, that God has not given, when he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spear, that word actually means timid or cowardice. It's that actual strength that we can find to battle through those things that we find challenging. And that's what Paul was writing to Timothy about, because Timothy faced those challenges for the reasons I said just now. It was easy for him to have a greater fear of man than it was to have a great fear of God. We actually read in Scripture, don't we? It's well known that in 1 John 4 that God's perfect love drives out fear. So we need to have a healthy understanding of God's love for us. I want to remind us again, how secure are we in the love that God has for each and every one of us? Because it's actually then that we can battle the fears. If we know that we're accepted by God, if we know that we're dearly loved by him, if we've really got that, not just in our heads, but in our hearts as well, then we'll be able to move forward in the things that God has for us. It says in Proverbs, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Proverbs 29, verse 25. And how often that is. How, you know, Jesus never said, blessed are the peace keepers. He said, blessed are the peace makers. And how often do you and I actually think, yeah, I know God's calling me to do this, and that sounds really exciting, God, but what will other people say? I was a guy, I was just mentoring, I got the privilege of mentoring somebody up in Cambridge, and I met up with him when we were up there earlier this week, and there was some stuff going on in his life, and real great opportunities were coming out. But his comment was, I wonder what Steve will say. I said, so who's Steve? And Steve said, this guy said, well, Steve's actually the church leader. I said, so why does it matter so much to you what Steve says about what you may be doing? And this unpacked a whole conversation between him and I of realizing actually that he needed to get that affirmation from Steve above and beyond anything that God may be saying to him. And it's not that he didn't want to respect Steve, but it was almost that unhealthy, I've got to get Steve's approval as well as God's approval. And that just led to some stuff that we needed to unpack for him at that time. But we come back and we look at those things, you know, in terms of actually as we're seeking to step out for God, are we more concerned about what other people may say, or are we concerned about what God may say? When God's nudging us to do something, are we happy to say, yeah, I'm willing to give that a go, or are we thinking, but what happens if I fail? What happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if I look stupid at the end of all of this? What happens actually in all of this if somebody turns around and says, well, you got that wrong, didn't you? Is there a healthy fear of God? Because that's actually what Paul would tell about. We should have a healthy fear of God. Not this fear, this timidity, this cowardice that sometimes actually locks us into a place where we don't end up doing anything well. So when we're looking at living out the truth that God has placed his spirit in our lives, that he wants us to step up and step into all the things he has for us in relationship with him as well as doing, where are we when it comes to knowing that actually God has not put a spirit of fear into us? But actually, as we're going to look, he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I know personally this is not an easy thing. It's something I battled with for many, many years, that actually it matters to me what other people think. You know, I'm somebody, maybe like a few of you here, I like to be liked. It's a nice thing to be liked, isn't it, really? Am I on my own in this? Or, yeah, okay, right. Just thinking, here we go again. This sounds, I always remember at Bible college, there was lecturers that they were lecturing on stuff. And they would say, you know, does everybody understand? And I'd put up my hand and say, I really don't know what you're on about. Could you put that in a language? And nobody else has put up their hand around me. And then we go to coffee time, and they all say, I'm really glad, Roland, you put up your hand. And I'm, why me? You know? So okay, we're in this together. You know, there is that sense that often we can worry about what other people think. And we want to be accepted by them. And it actually does limit us. Slowly but surely over the years, and I just think back, and it's not just these last 3 years, it was during our time here, actually more and more, you know, it's that sense that, you know, whether you're me standing up here today, you know, when you go home today, I don't care what you think about me. It's actually what you think about God. But maybe 15, 20 years ago, it would have been more about what you thought about me. Had I done a good job? Do I want people after I step down off the stage to say, well done, Roland? Actually, you know, we're here to have a fair comment back, but it's about God. And so slowly but surely, I think Ali and I have been learning. And I can remember going up, I was invited, I don't know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, to speak at a conference up in Scarborough, of all places, driving from Devon to Scarborough. What else would you do? And it was a time, actually, I remember Ali saying, when you get to Scarborough and you stand up and say, you're from Dawlish, everybody will know where Dawlish is, because actually that night the storms had come and washed the railway line away. So I'm stood there talking about contemplative spirituality. And there's this guy who's in the group of ministers who are there, a guy called Roy Searle. Some of you will know of Roy. He heads up the Northumbria community. And if there's anybody who's like the guru on contemplative spirituality, it's him. So I'm standing there leading this with all these guys, just getting into this stuff. And I've got Roy Searle looking there. But God said it doesn't matter about Roy Searle. And Roy's a very gracious man, lovely guy, chatting to him afterwards. But it's that sense of actually, Roland, it's about what God wants you to do. And actually, people of Radio Baptist Church, it's about what God wants you to do. Whether it's a small corner or it's a big corner, it's actually about having that expectation that God would use you in ways that are way beyond maybe you've even thought or imagined. But God can do it. But we're going to let fear hold us back, because at the end of the day, fear is a liar. And say that confidently. Not a holy fear of God. I'm talking about fear that locks us in. Fear is a liar, because fear says you can't do it. There's no way. Don't be stupid. But actually God says you can, because I've not given you a spirit of fear, of cowardice, of timidity. And this was Paul's encouragement to young Timothy there in Ephesus. I wrote down here in my notes that maybe some of you are sitting there and saying, that's all very well, Roland, but you don't know my situation or circumstances. And I found myself with a smile on my face saying, yeah, but don't look at your but look at Paul's but. Because actually, as we carry on, Paul goes on to say, but God's not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I want us to look at these things quite briefly now. I was talking to John Powell, and apparently Scott preached on something recently, and he had 15 points. I don't have 15 points this morning, you'll be pleased to know. But just these three things I want us to look at very briefly and draw it together. And I want us to look at them on this basis as well. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now, I realize that that's often talking about people working together. But as I thought about these three elements of the strength that God gives us through the presence of his Spirit in our lives, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and the Spirit of sound mind, actually it's not pick one from three or two from three. Actually it's saying these are the three things that God's given to all of us if we're walking in a relationship with Jesus today. It's not whether we think we've got them. Actually, God has given them to us because he's put his Holy Spirit in us as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So I want us to look at this as a three-corded strand. And that's important because actually in life we realize that there are some people who have got a lot of power but not a lot of love and not a lot of sound mind. And there's just an image that comes to mind of a certain leader of a certain country who I think has power, but he has, from my perspective, little love, and sometimes I would question his judgment. Well, actually, quite often, I would question his judgment. And yet, if we've got a picture of somebody who I believe has power with love and a sound mind, is Desmond Tutu. He's not perfect, but when I look at his leadership role there in Cape Town as Archbishop for many, many years, he didn't only demonstrate good leadership, actually he brought with it great love, and through his Nobel Peace Prizes and all the rest of it, an absolute sound mind to the situations he saw. So Timothy is being encouraged by Paul that he has this Spirit of God working in him. Very quickly, the words here, power. The word power is a supernatural ability to do the will of God. It's not my ability. It's not your ability. It's the supernatural power of God at work in our lives. That's what this word means from the original language. It's the equivalent of dynamite, dunamis. It's the miracle-working power that we read of Jesus. And I think of, you know, is it Mark's Gospel where we read of the woman who was hemorrhaging and all she had to do was touch his cloak. And Jesus stopped in this big crowd and said to his disciples, "So who touched me? Because I know that power has gone out from me." And it was that healing power that came out from Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit in him that had healed this woman. That's the type of power, this miracle-working power. We read of it in Acts and many other places. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. God has given you, Timothy, a spirit of power. So how are you going to use that spirit of power? Are you going to just put it in a corner and say, "I don't want to touch that, thank you, God," because that's a little bit dangerous? Or actually, are we going to say, "God, bring it on"? What is it? Because this is more about you. It's not about other people, although it is about them, because actually as we see God work in us, we'll see other lives being touched. And I can just look around this congregation today, and there are testimonies. If we just said, right, stop and said, right, how many of us have seen the power of God at work in people's lives, in our lives today? We could be here for a long time. You know, I heard of Chloe's baptism recently, and I remember speaking to Jane and Mark many, many years ago, and I'm going to embarrass you, Jane, I hope don't you, but I can remember Jane saying, "I don't know where I'm stand with God because I've got a situation where I've got a daughter who is deaf, and what will life be like for her?" And Chloe's testimony today is that she loves God. She hears well. She's fully integrated into Oxford Brookes, and I hear bits from my daughters there. You know, Andrew, Kerry, and we've just talked, and I'm not going to upset you. Sorry, Caroline, but, you know, God is a God who works in power. But do we want to hang on to that and grab hold of it? Or do we want to say, "No, thank you, God, because, you know what, I'm comfortable just where I am"? And I would want to say to you, church, say, God doesn't want a church of comfortable people. And our story is that actually God shook us up and took us out, and we're far from comfortable. And at times, somebody asked me last night, "Do you worry about stuff?" Flipping heck do I worry about stuff sometimes. Because I look and I think, "Lord, this is crazy." But is it God's power at work in us, or is it a little bit that we want? And can I just say, it's not that you've got to have seemingly loads of it. I was at a conference recently, and it was a CVM conference that some of the guys here have been to in a field near Swindon. And I went with a bunch of guys from Dawlish. And there's a guy lighting a barbecue, and he had lost his matches. So I'm just thinking, okay, a match barbecue, strike a match, light a barbecue. It was a gas barbecue. Lost his matches, blowtorch. It's the type of guy he is. He's a builder, great guy. So he's got a blowtorch lighting a barbecue. And I'm just thinking, why on earth do you need a... Well, it's It's the same flame that comes out of a blowtorch. It's a match that lights a barbecue. And sometimes we think, you know, oh, I've got to be maybe like Scott and be loud and up there, and that's what power looks like. But you know, it's not. And I'm not trying to compare and contrast, but a little bit I know about Jonathan and Les, they're a little bit quieter than Scott. But if you're going to be in that situation, these guys could light a match and set things on fire. Just as Scott could come in with a blowtorch and do exactly the same job. That's the power that we're talking about. And that's what I want you guys to grab hold of in terms of your expectation and living the truth that God is fully present in you today and wants to do amazing things, just as he's done in the history of this church. But it doesn't come when we're fearful. It comes when we say, God, I want that power that you have given to me because you've given me your Holy Spirit. It's about you and it's not about me, first and foremost. It's about us working together. So we have that power. Secondly, we have a love. The love that's been spoken of here is a love that is unconditional. And click on, Roland. And it's a distinctly Christian love that begins with a decision, behaves unselfishly, seeks the highest and greatest good of another, and flows with a deeply felt godly emotion. This is the type of love that we're talking about. The word is agape. It's an unconditional love. It's the love that Jesus has shown us that comes from God the Father, demonstrated in a sacrificial love that Jesus poured out when he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and find new life. That's the type of love that the Spirit of God has placed in you and me. It's not something we've got to muster up and think, oh, God, let me love. It's actually God saying, I've given you that ability already. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in you to love well. Just sometimes we choose not to love well because we've got our issues and we say, I don't want to love that person because they don't love me. They've offended me, so I'm not going to love them. Why should I? And I've got my rights. You know what? We've got no rights at all. Because actually, when we stand before God and he says something, what rights have you got? I've got nothing to present him in myself. All I've got is Jesus with me because he is my right. He has done for me what I could never do for myself. And that's the love that God chooses to lavish into our hearts day by day. But it's about the choices that we make. For God so loved, that's the word, the world, that he gave his one and only Son. John 17, the love that the Father has for us and for the, sorry, that the Father has for the Son may be known to those of us who are his followers. That's Roland's paraphrase. That's not actually what it says. It's along those lines. Romans 5:5, which is what it says. The love that God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. This is this unconditional, distinctly Christian love that Paul's talking about to Timothy here. And as I say, it was very poignant for Timothy because Paul is highlighting stuff that was going on where the church in Ephesus needed to love well and they were struggling to do that. But Paul says to Timothy, not so with you. Come on, Timothy. God's given you the spirit of love so that you can love others well. Love them in spite of. Love them unconditionally. Love as I have loved you. And that's what God calls us to do because he's placed his spirit in us. And that way we can live the truth. And yes, as I remember when I was stood here years ago and we talked about the EGR people, Rick Warren, extra grace required people. And there are those. There's two. When I was writing this, there were two men in particular in the church in Dawlish. And I just think, God, I struggle to love them because they really irritate me. But God, you've called me to love them. And I need to do that because you've loved me and you've put your spirit of love within me. So help me to do this. It's my act of the will, but actually it's his power working within me. John 13:34 says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. But it comes when we know the Father's love for us so that we can love well. But the question is, do we have a desire, do we have an expectation that we would love others well, following in the footsteps of Jesus himself? So the power to the Spirit of God in us to have that power, the Spirit of God in us to love well, and the Spirit of God to give us a sound mind. And the version that was read to us earlier on was of self-discipline, self-control. And Charles Swindoll says about this, it's a rational, reasonable, sound-minded manner of thinking and behaving that reflects the orderly mind of God, seeing things from his perspective. That's the sound mind that God has given us through the presence of his Spirit in our lives. And I realize that there is a complex issue here in terms of challenges that different ones of us have with different areas of mental health challenges. But at the end of the day, we go, when God's placed his Spirit in us, he's given us spirit of a sound mind, that we can reason well, that we can follow God's will, that we're able to do that. Yes, we need to choose well, but actually it comes because God has placed his Spirit in us, just as he had done in Timothy, to be able to live well and to lead well. Paul knew himself it was a battle. Paul knew, when we read in Romans 7, that he himself was finding times when the things he chose to do, he didn't want to do, and the things that he knew he didn't. All of that stuff Paul talks about. So Paul battled with these things, but he's encouraging Timothy to say, but this is what God has done for you. You've got choices, Timothy, but I want you to lead well, I want you to love well, because I've given you, or God has given you, a spirit which is sound-mindedness. I believe we have to work at it. It's a gift that God's given to us, but there are disciplines, and I think that Paul was aware that there are spiritual disciplines that Timothy had to follow. You know, it was staying close to God, it was praying, it was listening to God, it was making sure actually he was in the Word of God, knowing what it was that God wanted him to say to the church there. It was the fact that Timothy needed to be a regular worshipper, soaking in God as well. But all of this came because the Holy Spirit was there in him. It was him keeping a short account with God. And those words from Psalm 139, I'm sure Timothy would have prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Why? Because our God is holy. All holy, only holy. And he's calling a holy people to himself. Another quote from Charles Swindoll, who says this, Competency for ministry never arises from the minister alone. It is always the result of God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us. He has chosen us. We might be timid, but God is bold. Our competence might falter, but the Spirit never fails. We might lack confidence, but the Spirit of God never disappoints and never suffers uncertainty. So where are we today? Where are you today in your journey with God? It's exciting to hear that God is doing new things here in Rayleigh Baptist Church. We love hearing news of what is happening and new folk. It's lovely to see new faces here. But where are you believing God to lead you and guide you in the next? What is your expectation of God doing great things in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, wherever he's placed you? Or is it a sense of, but Lord, I'm comfortable. Don't rattle the cage too much. Please don't ask me to do something I don't really think I can do. God never calls us to do things that we can't do in his strength. He's never going to lead us into things, whatever season of life we're in. And I recognize that some of us are a bit older than others, but actually God calls us to work together to be the people he wants us to be. Thing is, are we willing to be part of that? Are we willing to lay down some stuff that actually we will truly be spirit-filled people who have his power, miracle-working power at work in us, his love that is unconditional so that we'll love each other well, and actually that sound-mindedness, that self-discipline that helps us to make good calls, good judgments in situations that we face. With this I finish, and this is something that we've been using in the church down in Dawlish, that a writer, an American guy called Craig Groeschel, has come up with his perspective on the church today. And he talks about the three lines that exist in the sand. You may not be able to see it fully. Hopefully you can. But the first line is this: we believe in Jesus enough to benefit. And some of you here today will believe in Jesus enough to benefit from what salvation is able to bring to your life. And then the second line is believing in Jesus enough to serve comfortably. So it's not that I believe so I got my ticket to heaven. Actually, I believed enough, but I'm going to serve. But as long as it doesn't cost me too much, I'm okay. But then he's talking about the church today as he sees it and says, the third line is this: it's believing in Jesus enough to give your life fully to him. It's stepping over that third line and saying, God, actually, you know what? I'm all in. Whatever it costs, I'm all in. Because I have a vision of you that is far greater than anything else. You are God. You are good, as we sang earlier on. And actually, I want a bit of what you want to do in Rayleigh or wherever it is we come from. God can do it on his own, but God chooses to use us in the workplace, in the home, in the neighborhood, wherever it is. But where are we today? Are we believing in Jesus just enough to benefit? Are you believing in Jesus enough to serve comfortably? Or is it that you're believing in Jesus enough to serve and give your life totally to him? Crossing the third line and the final line, he says, is both hard and easy. And it is. It's easy because actually God takes us by the hand and says, walk with me. It's hard because actually we have to leave some stuff behind. And we have to trust him in ways that maybe we find it uncomfortable. But we need God's Spirit in our lives, that Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, that three-stranded cord, in order that we can move forward into the things of God. Timothy managed to do it. He managed to achieve great things for God as a young man, as he was called to lead that church in Ephesus. But it came out of a good character that led to competence. It was about him being humble. That was his strength. He knew who he believed in, as we read earlier on. And he knew that God would have been entrusted to him until the day he saw him. And so with this, I will actually now finish. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The question is, what does it look like for you next? Right here as you're sitting here, right as you walk out of this place today, what does it look like? For some of you, you are just looking. And I want to say to you, if that's you today, God wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to give you all the riches of heaven so that actually your life can be different from it is now. For others, maybe we're believing enough to benefit and maybe serve comfortably, but we've no great expectation and conviction of God's call on our life. I would say to you today, I believe God's calling you to step up and to step in to the things he wants you to do. Otherwise, you will miss out. The thing that Ali and I are pleased to say is we don't feel we've missed out on a lot that God has given us to do and to be over these last 3 years. And it's exciting. Don't do what we've done, but do what God calls you to do. And others, yes, I believe there is a challenge because I've written down here, you've got hurts and disappointments and they hold us back in life. But I want to say to you, I think if you face those hurts and disappointments, actually you'll move through from where you are to where God wants you to be because he's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We need to face them and let God deal with them. And part of that is also that we exercise forgiveness. That was just a word that God gave to me. I still think that there are a number of us who choose not to forgive. And when we choose not to forgive, we'll never move on. Because the heart of the gospel is about forgiveness. Whatever God or what others may have done to us, we still have that choice as to whether we forgive. And finally, there are those of us who are maybe saying we're doing well. And my encouragement today is keep keeping on. Pressing into God, not in your own strength, but actually in his strength. Why? Because he's given us a spirit of, say it with me, a spirit of power, of a sub, and of a sound mind. It's whether we want to take that and grow our expectation of a great God and move forward into those things. I'm going to finish with a quote. Some of you may remember an amazing young man called Jim Elliot, who went to South America to reach out to a headhunting tribe. He was martyred at the age of 29. And he said this, "Oh, that God would make us dangerous." He also said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. What are you prepared to give up in order to move on in the things of God? How could you be dangerous for God? Whether you're a match or a blowtorch, however you see yourselves today, God loves a dangerous group of people who are willing to step out for him. Let's just be quiet for a moment. The band can come up. We're going to have one final song this morning. I can encourage you in stuff, but only God can do the real work. Maybe with those three lines this morning, you know whether you've just done enough to believe and it's okay, or whether you know that you're just comfortable and you need to step into the more, or whether actually you've taken the courage and courageous step of stepping over that third line and said, God, I'm all in. You know whether fear holds you back and where you've got to allow the Spirit of God to take over. Maybe you know where God's knocking on the door of your life, and it could be actually to make that commitment to go all in for him and to accept his love and forgiveness. Or maybe it is a life-changing event that you face and you know what God's saying, but actually you're trying to do it in your own strength. Father, thank you that you know each and every one of us in this place today. You know what that puts a smile on our face, and you know what causes us anguish. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come in a new and fresh way today, Lord, that for those of us who are willing to allow you to have your way, we would know your presence and your power and your love with a real sense of freshness today. It is for our good, Lord, but it's for your glory. It's for you building your church. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for what you want to do. Lord, may we not limit you. May we live dangerously for you. And Lord, thank you that all of this is possible because of Jesus. And Lord, as we're found in him, Lord, we can do great things. Lord, help this church, I pray, to be a people who are more like Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Let's stand and use this as our prayer, as our song of victory today. But let us rise to that challenge of realizing that we cannot stay the same. We need to be those people who expect great things of a great God.